What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night, December 2nd, 2024. The final month of 2024 has begun. Episode 420 of the Tan and J-Man Show's live on the IC Network, IC Sports Network, I should say, as long as with their YouTube channel and the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page. I'm Tanner Lee. You already knew that. You already know my co-host, Josh the J-Man Munt. J-Man, how's it going? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was good. You know, I ate so much food over the weekend that I barely ate yesterday. And that just shows me it was a good weekend.
Yeah, I hear you. I had a Thanksgiving Thursday, Friday, and yesterday. So I ate a lot three of the last 4 days. And let's be honest, I ate a lot on the day I didn't have Thanksgiving too. That's just what I do. But all good. Hope everybody out there in Tan and J-Man Show Nation had a good Thanksgiving. And it crept up on me this year. That's why our graphic looks a little different. On Thanksgiving was the Tan and J-Man Show's 8th birthday.
Happy birthday to us.
You know, we've been doing this show 8 years. We're both 32 years old. So we've been doing this show a quarter of our lives.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? I thought about that the other day. Man. I'm like, wow.
We've gotten better
throughout
the 8 years. We talk about it a lot, but it would take us like half an hour just to be able to start the thing without laughing
easily.
We're seasoned pros now.
I don't know if we're pros. I think you could call us seasoned. I don't know if we're pros by any means, but
yeah, we are the furthest thing from professionals when we talk, when we talk sports. But
time flies when you're having fun, and we've had a lot of fun over the past 240 episodes, 420. Jeez, numbers are hard today. Words are hard, numbers are hard on Mondays. 420 episodes, and as long as we keep enjoying ourselves, we don't plan on stopping anytime soon. So thank you for everybody who's been along the ride since day one. It's been a fun ride. And one thing we are definitely not at pros in is sports trivia. Which I'm sure J-Man brought some with me to give me yet another bogey.
I did bring some with me, but before we get that, we have another birthday. My daughter's first birthday is Wednesday. So happy birthday, Adeline. We love you so much, Addie girl. Incredibly fast year. Incredible.
I was just going to say, how fast has that went by?
It's crazy. But I do have some birdie bogey for you. It's a yes or no. You get a birdie, you get a bogey sort of answer.
Okay.
What school has produced the most cumulative rushing yards in the NFL?
Wow.
All time.
That's a good question.
Since 1966. The school with the most cumulative rushing yards in the NFL to have gone to those schools. So, birdie bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Over the weekend, Ivory Moss performed at the Arlington Public House, and they had their weekend feature, the Cluckin' Delight, juicy chicken breast stuffed to the brim with melty cheese and crispy pork belly, lounging on a cozy bed of herb-kissed zucchini. The whole dish gets a bold upgrade with a drizzle of smoky sweet roasted red pepper. Coolies. It's a flavor party on your plate. Do not miss it. I'm sure they'll be filtering that back around some other weekend. But, get your veggies.
Get your veggies indeed and get anything off that menu. You can't go wrong with anything off the Arlington Public House menu for sure. And we'll give a shout-out to their, I don't even know what you call it, their other company. I don't even know.
Dreddy's?
Other restaurant. Yeah, Dreddy's. Dreddy's company. Place. Sister, I guess you call it a sister restaurant. The adjoining restaurant. How about that?
There you go.
Dreddy's Place is open for lunch during the week. And then Arlington Public House is open during the evening, Thursday through Saturday right now. So if you're in Rochester, Indiana, need something good to eat for lunch or dinner, go to Dreddy's Place / Arlington Public House and you'll be set.
Yeah. They are definitely adjoined restaurants.
Adjoining
restaurants, because I remember one time I was eating there with you. It was called The Other Side then, and you wanted to go through Giretti's on our way out because we parked over there, and you tried to open the door, didn't know it was a sliding door, and you open it, and the whole it's almost like a barn door kind of started to swing out.
Oh, yeah.
You embarrassed yourself in front of the entire restaurant.
I remember that very well, and what makes me feel better, I've seen two, if not three, other people do that.
So, I've seen multiple people do that as well. Yeah. So, and I'm very glad you're the one that was going first, because I would have done the exact same thing.
Well, that's why we're really good friends, because we're not the brightest. We're not the brightest.
And the worst part is we don't even balance each other out. Like one's not smart and the other's dumb. We're just both dumb.
Yeah, it's Harry and Lloyd, dumb and dumber. To a T. But we got a lot to talk about tonight. We got college football coaching carousel. There's three big Power Four jobs open, including my alma mater. We'll be talking about that, and the college football playoff picture is becoming more clear now that we're in conference championship week. NFL, it's been kind of a crazy week 13, and then college hoops had a bunch of MTs, as they're calling it, going on, which Dan Hurley's never going to play one again.
Yeah, he's a whiny.
He's the worst. He's the worst.
The only reason why I'm saying that is because he lost every single one of
all
them.
All three.
I've never seen it. I mean, we've seen a coach go ballistic like he did, but maybe not since Bobby Knight. Honestly, have we seen a coach to that scale, like drop to the floor like a toddler and just scream and make faces? It was embarrassing. I would be embarrassed if I was UConn administration for the way he acted down there in Maui.
He could honestly get technical foul every game.
Yeah, and they finally gave him one. And it happened to be when they were tied. I think it was in overtime against Memphis. And I think we talked about this last week because it happened on Monday. He said, my technical foul didn't cost us the game. The blank officiating did, or the blank calls did, which that's just kind of his – that's kind of his character. He demands a lot out of his players, and he obviously demands a lot out of the officials too.
Yep.
They haven't had what would be deemed non-success in like 2 years, 2 or 3 years.
Right.
So he's not used to it.
Yeah, and the AP poll came out today, and you know, they, like you said, they dropped all three at Maui, including the third one was a whooping at the hands of the Dayton Flyers, and they remain 25th. They're ranked 25th. They remain in the top 25, which that's asinine. I mean, there's other schools that are undefeated on the outside looking in at top 25 right now. So.
Yeah, and that's just probably has something to do with, you know, they won back-to-back titles.
Sure, I know, but
you probably won't see, regardless of how bad like an Alabama or Georgia starts, you probably won't see them outside of the top 25 unless they get real bad in football.
Yeah, true.
So the AP poll's a joke anyways. And it was interesting, the net rankings came out for the first time just to show how the metrics are liking the schools through the first month, and it was pretty interesting to see who some teams were in the top 25, like Pitt at 5.
Yeah.
They have some big wins. They did beat Ohio State. I know.
At the buzzer.
Yeah, in Ohio State too, right?
Yep.
And that's probably inflating it more than it would.
Yeah.
You know. But it is interesting. There were how many teams in the top 25 in the Big Ten?
I just saw Illini were one. I didn't see.
I knew the metrics would love Illinois because they've been blowing teams out and scoring a ton of points. And then I think it was Ohio State was the second team on there, then Purdue.
I think you're right.
Again, this means
nothing. I try not to look at polls in basketball anymore.
No.
I look at bracketology, even though that doesn't mean squad either.
Yeah.
But
tell me in February where things stand.
Yeah, I agree.
I know the net rankings mean a little more as far – obviously, it's all about the net rankings as far as the quads go, quad 1, 2, 3, 4 wins and losses and all of that. But it means absolutely nothing on December 2nd.
But Big Ten play starts this week.
It does.
Which is who have been some surprises and some disappointments to you so far? I know we're not even a full month in, so it's premature, but –
Yeah, Oregon's looked awfully good so far.
Yeah, they have.
They shot up from unranked all the way to number 12.
Yep.
Today after beating, I think they beat. Did they beat Alabama yesterday?
They beat Alabama over the weekend.
In the whatever MTE they were in. So they were supposed to be halfway decent, but so far they've been great. Wisconsin's obviously been a major surprise. Most people have
every year. We see that every single year.
We do, point. But then by February, it's like, okay, that makes more sense where they end up. I think Rutgers has been on the surface a little bit of a disappointment, but with so many young guys, I didn't have them finishing that good in the Big Ten anyways, and they've struggled. I mean, as we said last week, they lost at Kennesaw State. But then, and then they play number two Alabama and played them really well, or I don't think they're number two now, number eight Alabama or wherever they are. Played them really well, but they also, who else did they lose to this week? They lost to somebody else this week. I think they have three losses already. But they've been, I would say, a little bit of a disappointment. Michigan's looked awfully good, since, you know, whatchamacallit took over. What's his name?
Dusty May
took over. And rebuilt the program through the portal, but they whooped Xavier this past week. Michigan State's looked solid so far, which I don't know how sustainable that is with the rough
post-play. They've been tough to figure out because they went through stretches. I don't think they've looked very good, but they've got some big wins.
Yeah. Indiana has been a disappointment through, you know, 7-8 games, however many they play, but they got whooped by a Louisville team. They were down almost 40 at one point against a Louisville team who, you know, won 7 games last year or so, and it's a brand new coach and all of that. And they've looked better, obviously, so far. But the lack of effort, I think, is a incredibly concerning MO that really Woody has created there. I mean, it doesn't seem like his guys play very hard. He plays a style that would have been great 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and he's stuck. Yeah. Playing it with these two post players, you have your traditional point guard, you have a shooting guard, you have small forward, power forward. They don't even call that anymore. They call them the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 everywhere else. But he is stuck playing this old school game, and then they get whooped by Gonzaga, and then they bounced back.
They still don't shoot well.
Providence. They don't shoot well. They went out and got these shooters. Miles Rice hasn't shot the ball well. Luke Goody hasn't shot the ball
well.
He's
been awful.
Carlisle hasn't shot the ball well. And it was pretty telling. There was a video, you know, when they were getting whooped by Louisville that they were in the huddle and Mike Woodson was kind of back away and Luke Goody was getting at him a little bit. Goody's the only one that's won anything on this roster. And he knows what it means like to be coached hard. And I don't think Woody is capable of doing that. And I've already seen people calling for his head after.
Oh, yeah. That's not surprising.
We'll see if the roster kind of stays intact here, if they lose a few more games, which their schedule is incredibly easy. The rest of their non-con, I should say, is very easy before the Big Ten play really ramps up. But if they're just kind of bleh through January, I think they could fold, honestly. And I think Woody might get fired mid-season at this point.
Yeah, and it probably doesn't help his case that the football team's done so well.
Yeah.
It
might help his case, though, in the fact that no one's thinking about basketball right now.
That's true.
And he can turn it around before, you know, the reversibles and the now Indiana football fans jump back on the basketball train. You see what Kurt Cignetti's doing, 11-1. They'll be in the playoff.
They're in. I don't think they'll host a home game, but they're in.
Probably not. I think they'll be in that 10-11 seed range. But just to see what he's done year one and at a basketball school.
Yep.
And I think even though the football team's been great, I think every football fan would say they'd prefer the basketball team to do good.
Oh, 100%. It's going to be a basketball school forever. And I don't know if this – I think they – and I know we're kind of talking about two things at once because I also want to talk college football, but I think 7-8 wins can be doable going forward for Cignetti, but I don't think 11 wins is sustainable every year.
Yeah. Obviously, you're going to choose to win 11 games in year one. You're not going to fold and not do that, but now setting up unrealistic expectations. And you get a guy that can win 7 games consistently there, they'll build you a statue.
As they should. They're still a losingness program in college football.
Yeah,
historically,
it's crazy. The first year of the expanded playoff, Indiana is going to get in.
Yeah, I would have never thought. But it's the portal world. It can one good offseason can turn things around. One bad offseason can turn things around for the worse. We've seen that across the board happen at some programs. Mm-hmm. So, going back to college basketball, it'll be interesting this week. I'm still not a huge fan of the too early.
Yeah.
Big Ten games, but it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, you get a taste of these high-level games, and you go back to playing the Chicago States, and it's just a weird feeling. Now, I think both Purdue and Illinois still have really tough schedules.
I was going to say, Purdue after this week,
yeah,
their following two games are A&M down in Indianapolis and then Auburn down in Birmingham. So
yeah. And it's the same way with Illinois, too. Like, they play at Northwestern, then Wisconsin. Then they host number four now, Tennessee. And then they play, I think, Missouri right after that, which I don't know how Missouri is, but they're still a high major. And then they play a Chicago State. It's a
rivalry game, too.
And it's a rivalry game that they haven't had a ton of success in the past 10, 12 years or so. So it's not going to get any easier. And that is the thing I don't like about the two early games, as I said, is a lot of teams play, you know, these big, big games and come home, come back, and you're playing these – you know, smaller schools, and the atmosphere is not as good. You got finals week, so it's just a weird dynamic. So I prefer once you start playing the high level games, I want to continue to play those high level games instead of, you know, falling asleep at the wheel, in a sense.
100%, 100%. And I'd say I have not watched a lot of basketball outside of Purdue games. I've caught a few glimpses of a few Big Ten teams, but like nationally outside Big Ten, I don't think I've watched a single minute.
No, I'm right there with you. I've been mainly Illinois only. I watched some of the second half of the Purdue Alabama. I saw literally the final play of the game of the Purdue Ole Miss.
That was a good game. That felt like an NCAA tourney.
It did. Ole Miss is pretty solid.
They can shoot. They can shoot.
Can they ever? It was an exhibition game. Illinois played there in October, and I think they started 9 of 11 from 3, something like that. But
Chris Beard's always been a pain, and even though Painter's got him now the last two times.
Yeah.
But, you know, he beat Painter at Little Rock. He beat Painter at Texas Tech. Painter got him at Texas and now got him an Ole Miss. Yeah. But I'm like, I can go without seeing that dude for a long time.
Yeah. But other than that, I haven't watched Wisconsin at all. I watched a little bit of Indiana against Providence in the first half. I watched a few minutes of Michigan State and Maui. Haven't watched Michigan at all. I just haven't watched really anything besides Illinois so far.
Yeah.
Which obviously that will change once the Big Ten play ramps up. But it's been I wouldn't say it's been hard to get into, but I just, for whatever reason, haven't really wanted to tune in to anyone else.
No, I'm right there with you. And, you know, and our teams are good. I mean, my team's eighth. I think yours is what, 15th, 16th, 14th?
19th.
19th?
Yeah.
19th somewhere. But, yeah, I mean, it helps, of course, that my NFL team's having a pretty good season up to tonight so far. So, well, my college football team had a horrific season. But is what it is. You want to get educated real quick before we talk more college football?
Well, do you want to pick games first for Big Ten anyway?
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
I have them pulled up here. So Northwestern at Iowa tomorrow night.
I'll take Iowa because they're the home team. Like I said, I haven't watched a single second of either team. So.
Yeah. Illinois plays at Northwestern Friday. I'm nervous about it. First road game for a lot of these guys. And Barnheiser's back for Northwestern as well. Yeah. So I think they're halfway decent. Not great, but halfway decent. However, give me Iowa at home. They've been playing some halfway decent ball against bad opponents, but still, you got to beat who you play.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan at Wisconsin on the Peacock.
Going with the home team again.
Yeah. Give me Wisconsin at home. This is a measuring stick game for Michigan, though. This could be a massive win for them if they can go in there and get it done. And then this doesn't even feel real. Washington at UCLA, Big Ten matchup.
Give me the home team again. But I'm not just saying, I think UCLA is a lot better than Washington.
They are. Washington 6-1. Don't think they played anyone. But yeah. Wednesday night, we have Ohio State at Maryland.
I'll finally take a road team. I'll take the Buckeyes here.
Maryland hasn't beaten anyone yet. The metrics like them, though. I think they were in the top 25 in the net.
They play Marquette tough.
So far. They did play Marquette tough. They beat a bad Villanova team. Give me Maryland at home, just because it's, again, the home team, coin flip. Michigan State at Minnesota.
Well, and for a lot of these teams, this is their first true road test.
Right.
Minnesota is the worst team in the conference. I feel bad for Ben Johnson. Give me Michigan State.
Yeah, give me Michigan State on the road. Number 12, Oregon at USC.
Oh, I think USC is really bad too. I haven't seen play, but I'm looking at the box scores, final scores. Give me Oregon.
Yeah, give me Oregon as well. Thursday night, we have Purdue at Penn State, your favorite place to play.
Oh, I hate playing there. At least it is at the Bryce Jordan this year, not Cracker Jack box of a arena, wherever they play. Sorry, I brought up some PTSD for you. I just remembered you played there last year.
Up 14 with 9 minutes left. Yeah, I remember.
always remember the L's. But this Penn State team does play a lot of defense, kind of similar to Marquette. But saying that Purdue's already been on the road once, kind of took down the chin. I like Purdue in a close one.
Yeah, I agree. Penn State will turn you over. Ace Baldwin versus Braden Smith would be a heck of a matchup because Ace Baldwin, I mean, 2+ steals a game last year. But yeah, give me Purdue in single digits.
I did have to laugh like in NBC Peacock's preseason coverage and questions. Baldwin said he had this game circled on his calendar because he wants to go against Braden Smith. And then to ask Braden something, Braden's like, I couldn't tell you when we play Penn State. I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. That shows the difference in program there.
Yeah.
Indiana somehow gets away with not playing a Big Ten game this week. They play Sam Houston and then Miami of Ohio. I don't know how that happened.
I like Indiana, both of those.
Illinois at Northwestern.
I like the Illini in a close one. It's going to be going to give J-Man a stress test, but they'll pull it off.
Not sure who guards Barnheiser. I do like the way they shoot the ball, though. I mean, they're 7'1" big guy with 6 of 9 from three. Tomislav Ivicic against Arkansas on Thursday. So you have a 7'1" guy that can do that. It's going to be a tough guard for Matt Nicholson for sure. Give me Illinois by one. the thing that makes me feel better about, you know, it being the first true road game is they did play in Birmingham against Alabama. They also played on the road in a raucous environment. It was an exhibition, but it was rocking at Ole Miss. So hopefully that – and – you know, their two best players are two Europeans that have played in insane atmospheres over in Europe. So I'm hoping, and there will be a lot of Illinois fans.
I was going to say, let's be honest, Illinois's got 40 to 50% of the crowd.
Probably, which makes the atmosphere that much better. So the way Illinois scores the ball, I'm hoping they just can score too many points for Northwestern to hold, keep up. But I hate that that's their first road game, which they played in like February or something. Rutgers at Ohio State.
I have the Buckeyes having a good week. I like Ohio State here.
Yeah, give me Ohio State at home. Nebraska at Michigan State.
Michigan State.
Give me Michigan State. Number 11, Wisconsin at number 5, Marquette.
Marquette.
Yeah, give me Marquette at home. Iowa at Michigan.
Michigan.
Yeah, give me Michigan at home. Maryland at Purdue.
Bad week for the Terps. I have Purdue getting that one.
Give me Purdue. I'm not even going to – I don't even want to pick the Pac-12 Big Ten games. I just don't want to do it, so I'm not going to.
Yeah. All right. There we go. So now do you want to get educated?
Let's do it.
Let's learn about some sporting events that have happened on December 2nd. First time looking at this list tonight. Here we go. Here's a good one. On this day, 1909, the National Hockey Association is formed in Montreal. Original members include Montreal Wanderers and Montreal Canadiens. They become NHL after some NHA teams leave due to ownership disagreements and create their own league. A lot of cricket. Not going to do that today. This is looking like a bad one. On this day, 1951, future Pro Football Hall of Fame wide receiver Don Hutson has his number 14 jersey retired by the Green Bay Packers. First number retired in franchise history.
I wonder how many numbers they have retired now.
That's a good question. A lot of Heisman trophies, but I'm trying to get a little more present before I ask you those because some of these are way back in the day. Why is it always the Iron Bowl? Like, who cares? On this day, 1974, MLB Rules Committee changes the longtime philosophy to permit the use of cowhide rather than just horsehide in the manufacture of baseballs.
Interesting. I wonder if it flies further.
I'm the wrong person to ask. On this day, 1984, Miami Dolphins quarterback Dan Marino broke the NFL single-season touchdown pass record when he threw his 37th touchdown of the year, and the Dolphins' 45-34 loss to the Raiders finished the season with 48. Now, that number held up for a long time.
Long time. Yeah, man, he shattered it if it was 36.
Yeah, he did.
My dad still talks about that Raiders loss. I literally just heard him talk about it over the weekend, how they ruined the season in 84. And he's hated the Raiders ever since.
Now, this doesn't make sense. I'm going to do these two back-to-back, but it's wrong because it has the same date. I think one of them is supposed to be a year ahead of what it says here, but your dad will like both of these. On this day, 1985, I know this one's correct. Chicago Bears head coach Mike Ditka and defense coordinator Buddy Ryan almost come to blows at halftime in a 38-24 loss to the Miami Dolphins at the Orange Bowl. Chicago's only loss in the NFL season. I know that one's factual.
Yeah.
But then it says on this day in 1985, NFL quarterback legends Dan Marino and John Elway face each other for the first time. 30-26 win for Marino's Miami Dolphins, 390 yards, three touchdowns. I'm guessing that was 86.
Had maybe to have been 85. Yeah, because the 85 one was definitely correct. Again, yes, that was probably my dad's favorite regular season Dolphins game of all time, especially with him, you know, growing up in Illinois anyway.
Sure.
And having to hear from all the Bears fans how they're the greatest team ever.
On this day, 1989, who won the 55th Heisman Trophy Award?
89? Was that Barry Sanders?
He was 88.
Oh, shoot.
Or 87. I think he was 88 off the top of my head.
I think 87.
Andre Ware.
Tim Brown.
Andre Ware.
Oh, okay.
I think you're right, yeah. I think it went Brown, Sanders, Ware. Houston quarterback Andre Ware. On this day, 1991, former Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder Bobby Bonilla became the highest paid player in MLB when he agreed to a record $29 million 5-year deal with New York Mets.
Cubs just gave a middle of the pack, middle of the road pitcher 2 years, $29 million today. So that tells you where it's at now.
Crazy. On this day, 1994, Cobb, a film about baseball player Ty Cobb starring Tommy Lee Jones, premiered. I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's on MLB Network all the time, but I've never watched it.
A lot of conference championship games. Well, darn, I was holding out for a Heisman Trophy, but maybe next week. Maybe next week will be more.
It seems pretty early to have recent Heisman trophies. It seems like it's usually December 10th, 11th, something like that.
Yeah, maybe next week is probably the week because I feel like we both hold our own Heisman Trophy pretty well. But that's got to do it for the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated group woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of the recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. So get those orders in, people. Can't stress it enough.
Yes, sir.
It's a great gift for any occasion. All right, J-Man, let's talk some college football, shall we?
Let's do it.
Like I mentioned at the top of the show, four Power 4 jobs are open. I forgot about Central Florida because Gus Malzahn left to become Florida State's offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And I saw Florida State's close to hiring Nebraska's defense coordinator as their new D coordinator.
So Tony White, I think his name is.
They are spending some money for coordinators around Mike Norvell there.
Yeah.
So you got Central Florida open in the Big 12. You got West Virginia open in the Big 12. You got North Carolina open the ACC because Mac Brown wouldn't retire. And you got Purdue now open in the Big 10. So not the cream of the crop jobs, but all pretty decent jobs, I would say.
Yeah. Unless Ohio State somehow opens.
I don't see that until the playoffs said and done, or until Ohio State season ends. But I do think if Ryan Day doesn't win at all, I think he's gone.
Which is crazy. It's just crazy looking at his record.
He's lost five Big Ten games, Florida, Michigan. The other one was Oregon this year.
If it just wasn't Michigan, I don't think it'd be an issue. I don't think fans would be whining and complaining.
I don't think they have a problem losing some games. It's losing to Michigan.
I just don't get why they want Ryan Day gone. So I don't think he's that great of a football coach, but their expectations are absurd.
Yes.
There. And, you know, they could win a national title this year. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, I would still say they're one of 4 to 5 teams that have a really good shot out of the 12.
It's just, I did not see them losing to this Michigan team. The others, yeah, absolutely. It could see it happening. This one, and then, you know, Michigan goes and plants the flag there, and Ohio State showed more fight in, you know, trying to break up them from planting the flag than they did actually during the game. Something seems off with Ohio State this year. They haven't scored the points like they have in the past. Their defense is still really good. And honestly, they could have gotten blown out. I mean, Michigan threw a pick on the goal line on first and goal. I think Ohio State missed a few kicks, though.
They did. He missed two.
So, yeah, if, say, Ohio State gets blown out in game one of the playoff, who knows?
Yep. But they'd be able to get any coach they wanted, I'm sure. But but there could be some coaches that are like, you just fired Ryan Day with that record? I'm not going there. And I bring this up because a friend of mine, Plug-O, from the Between Two Beards podcast, go check out his podcast if you like pro wrestling. They also talk about NFL and a bunch of other stuff. And he also says because Ryan Day is a jerk.
He does seem
That's what's off. And I bring this up, Plug-O, because I know you're a Notre Dame fan. If I'm a Notre Dame fan and Ohio State comes open, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Because I think Marcus Freeman would be one of their first calls, if not their first call.
I was thinking that exact same thing. He has been mentioned as a Chicago Bears candidate as well.
I wouldn't leave Notre Dame for the Bears.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't leave any elite college job for the NFL unless you just don't like, you know, the way a college game is, which I don't name people. I mean, again, this is a little off topic, but going back to Gus Malzahn leaving a head coaching spot, that's now twice at a Power Four school the past year that a head coach has left to become an offensive coordinator somewhere. Chip Kelly from UCLA to Ohio State, Gus Malzahn now to Florida State. So maybe they just want that less of a responsibility where they can just worry about offense.
Get paid more.
And you can get paid more out of Florida State or Ohio State than you would as a head coach.
And Malzahn might be thinking, well, if this does go south on Norvell, maybe I slip in. And I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Probably. But that probably wouldn't spell well for him either if they're struggling. Yeah. They're probably not putting up enough points. So.
Yeah. I'd be nervous about it too because I think Freeman would probably be definitely in their top tier if it's a – tiered list, which I think most coaching searches should be. You can't do here's my top guy, here's number two, here's number. You gotta have you gotta have a tier system.
Yep.
And I'm sure Marcus Freeman would be in a lot of elite jobs top tier.
He's a good coach. I mean, he hasn't won championship or anything, but they're also not in a conference. But he's young, can connect with the players, and he knows how the NIL and the portal works, and he's Yeah, he lost to Northern Illinois. He's not a good coach. Haters who hate on NDB like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that was a blessing disguise for him. I really do. I really do. Because they've, outside of Louisville, when they won by touchdown, and I guess USC a little bit, they've dominated everybody else. So.
Yeah, USC hung in there for a little bit, but you knew it wouldn't last.
They did.
But yeah, that NIU loss feels like a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, it feels like, years ago.
Yeah.
But my Boilermakers got absolutely humiliated by the rival, the Indiana Hoosiers, 66-0, largest deficit, and not only in the rivalry history, but in Purdue school history, topping one that happened back in September against Notre Dame in a 66-7 loss. So they cut ties with Ryan Walters after just 2 years, but a record of 5-19, and many, many blowouts this year. It had to be done. The plug had to be pulled. A lot of people were freaking out lately that there were reports that they were leaning towards keeping Ryan Walters. It's hard to who to believe, but Mike Bobinski in his press conference today pretty much said this has been in the works for a long time, for weeks.
So. Yeah. It's not a hasty decision to just fire a guy. You have to have, obviously, a plan of attack
Oh, yeah.
As far as going out and getting a new guy. So I'm sure 3 or 4 weeks it's been in the works. It's not as much. We lost 66-0 to a rival. We gotta cut ties. Like there has to be a plan in place. And it's in college football, you get fired after year two. The entire time had to have been a disaster. And it was this year, especially a disaster.
Yep.
They weren't even competitive in a lot of games.
Not against anybody ranked. They weren't.
But they were against Illinois. Was Illinois ranked at that? Illinois was ranked at that time.
Illinois was ranked. Well, yeah, they honestly should have beat Illinois the way that game went about. But but no, against the big boys, the top tens, they just got destroyed.
Yeah, and 5-19, he was on pace to have a worse record than old Hazel. So how would you stack those two up? Who would you?
It's hard. I would still take Ryan Walters over Daryl Hazel, but it's hard because in 11 years since Hazel was there, well, started at Purdue, I guess it's been 8 years since he was fired. College football and college athletics has changed so much. I mean, I still think Walters was a lot better recruiter than Hazel was. And I think Hazel's earlier teams had more talent than Walters' teams, at least guys in the pros. But both were the two worst Purdue coaches in history. I mean, it wasn't even really close. So, yeah, you know, and
I kind of feel for Walters a little bit in the fact that he was probably just not ready.
I don't think he was ready. But, you know, I think Purdue, high risk, high reward, swing for the fences, thinking if we don't take a chance on this guy, he's probably nabbed up by this. Yeah. You know, he would have been this offseason probably by somebody, assuming he had another good year as a DC in Illinois. And he was a hot name as a DC. And they thought he could relate to the players, NIL, recruit well. And none of it just really came to fruition. I mean, he recruited okay, but none of it. The portal was a whiff by him this year, real bad. And all that's going to change too, coming January 1st when this I forget what they even call it, what they're calling it.
So like a revenue sharing of
sort? The revenue sharing comes with all the teams that are in it. Get $22 million to disperse. So NIL is going to change yet again. Mm-hmm.
It might regulate it a little bit.
Yeah, it might. So, but Mike Babinski's got a hit on this hire, like he did on Jeff Brohm. I mean, does Purdue? Of course, Purdue wants somebody who can win every game, but it's not realistic. I mean, just somebody who can get the bowl games and give you some exciting moments, some upset wins. That's all Purdue fans are asking for, and they didn't get any of that the last 2 years. So, so we'll see. I still think it's an attractive job. But it's not an easy job. It's an attractive job from a money standpoint, from a conference standpoint, from a resources standpoint, from a fan base standpoint, I would say. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult. I mean, West Lafayette's difficult to recruit to, and the Big Ten's a difficult conference to play in.
Yeah.
But you got to find a guy who's maybe an up-and-comer and ready to try to take on that challenge.
Again, you got to hit on a Kurt Cignetti again. Yeah. We'll talk about it ad nauseum. Again, the worst program in the Big Ten for years has been Indiana. Yep. They'd have some weird season where they won 10 games.
Sure.
Very rare, though. But then they hire a guy, and he took some guys with him, and they obviously had a schedule that was set up to win a lot of games, too.
Yep.
And Purdue's schedule is not easy next year, for sure. But hopefully for them, they can kind of manipulate the schedules in the coming years to make it more favorable.
Right.
To, you know, start off well at least and give yourself a chance to get to 6-7 wins.
Yep. And they got to follow IU's mold and go get an active head coach.
Yes.
That can bring a lot of his staff, if not all his staff, and some players with them because their roster is just going to be gutted. They already had 4, if not 5 guys jump in the portal today because they can a week earlier now because of the coaching change. Yeah. And I expect so many more to jump in the portal. I'm not saying they couldn't jump back out if they like the new coach, but I don't think a lot of them would, to be honest.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll lose about their entire recruiting class too.
It's down to 7, and even some of those 7 are holding out now till February signing day.
Right.
So they know who the new coach is going to be, which makes sense. So.
Everyone loves and hates coaching searches. Yeah. Same time, it's exciting to see some of the names, but at the same time, it's like, man, when's this going to end?
It's fun to speculate, but it's nerve-wracking because you're like, you know, as a fan, you spend your time, money, effort in this program, and you want to see him get it right, just so it makes your fandom that much more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Mike Bobinski said he's hoping to get this thing wrapped up in 7 to 10 days. So my theory is, and I'm probably wrong, but my theory is 7 to 10 days, that probably means he's waiting on somebody that's playing in the conference championship.
Yeah.
Because if not, you think they could get it done quicker.
Yeah, it'd probably be bad business to get it done quicker, because that'd be like, hey, we didn't even try to get, you know, a guy that's in a conference championship game. But 7 to 10 days makes sense. That's usually about the timeline guys hire. I don't remember the Jeff Brom.
Indiana had it done in 5 days last year.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so they moved pretty quick.
Yeah.
But I don't remember Jeff Brom. I know Walters took over a week. I don't remember Jeff. Mm-hmm. I think, you got to remember, they had 2.5 months to work on Jeff Brom behind the scenes. That's
the point, yeah.
So, I think Jeff Brom might have been announced the Monday after the season ended. It was pretty darn quick.
Yeah, makes sense. They had, you know, that entire time.
Yep. But some names I'm looking at here. I got to find my list. Darn it. Jamie Chadwell from Liberty would be one I'd really like. Problem with him, he's got a big buyout. $4 million a year. He's got a 7-year contract. So the rest of his remaining, he's only in year two of it. So that's $20 million just to buy him out.
Wow.
Barry Odom, UNLV. He went 500 at Missouri, but he's done really well at UNLV, and I think he could bring his OC and his quarterback with him. But he is a defensive-minded head coach, but I don't really care about that. I just want somebody who can win.
Yeah.
John Summerall from Tulane. He's only been a head coach 3 years, but he's won at Troy and Tulane. Tyson Helton, he might be an easy choice from Western Kentucky. He was a finalist in 2022, but supposedly he didn't interview well. Yeah. And one name, I haven't even heard this guy mentioned, but I like Brent Vigen from Montana State if they go the FCS route. I think he's only lost 9 games there in the handful of years he's been there. So,
yeah, I mean, look at what Klieman did at Kansas State, going from North Dakota State to there.
But all, my home run hire would be Matt Campbell from Iowa State. I don't know if he would leave. He would have a high contract too. But I think Iowa State's very similar to Purdue.
Yeah, very comparable. Yeah.
And Ames and West Lafayette, both are engineering schools in the Midwest. And he might – Big Ten's a better conference than the Big 12 and more money, but it's a easier – I mean, but heck, if he wins this weekend, they're in the playoff.
Yeah.
Iowa State, so he's got an easier road to the playoff in the Big 12. So, but he's been there a while, and he was at Toledo a while. Mm-hmm. Matt Candle from Toledo's name brought up. What scares me about him is – he's been there for like 9 years. Why hasn't he got another job somewhere else? Because he's done good enough.
So, yeah. He might just be happy at Toledo. Yep. What about a guy like Sean Lewis, who's OC at Colorado, who was the head coach at Kent State and left there to go to
Colorado? He's not the OC at Colorado anymore. Pat Shermer is.
Oh.
Old Broncos. The OC at one time was horrendous. But I want somebody that's an active head coach right now that can try to bring stuff. If they go the OC route, I like Penn State's OC. He's a hot name right now, but I can't even pronounce it. There's one guy I want to stay away from, and now they'll probably hire him. Now I'm saying this. Charles Huff from Marshall supposedly really wants the job. But something just about him, just is the offense isn't that good. It just, I don't know, something about him tells me no. And some other MAC schools, Ohio and Miami, Ohio's coach. I want no part of Troy Calhoun. He was around a finalist. He was definitely a finalist to Jeff Brom when Jeff Brom got it. Was talked to when Walters. I want no part. He's been at Air Force since 2007, runs triple option, doesn't have to deal with the NIL or portal there. No thanks. I know Aaron Lynch would love it. Good friend of the show. No thanks.
He's not going to leave that situation out there as long as his job security is very high. And they weren't even good this year, I don't think. So
last name I wouldn't mind. I mean, I'm sure there's others. Ryan Silverfield from Memphis would be one I wouldn't mind. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It'll probably be none of those guys.
Probably. Like Walters wasn't even on anybody's radar.
Yeah, that's how it happens a lot, it seems like. Well.
Yep. Mitch Milton, what about Drew Brees? I don't see him being involved with Purdue football anytime soon. He's so involved with his kids' activities. enjoying what he's doing. And hey, he admitted he wanted to be an Aggie. Always wanted to be an Aggie over the weekend. So on social media. So, which he did. His story. I mean, he grew up a Texas A&M fan. They didn't offer him, but he was at the A&M game. He was talking to Johnny Football. A&M social media caught him saying that and made a big post about it.
Ah, he's going to start becoming a big A&M donor, and it's going to make y'all mad.
That would make a lot of pretty people mad, but I did. I was just like, it was salt in the wound the night of the IU game, but it was like, whatever. I didn't take it to heart, but we'll see. But playoff picture, looking at the conference championship games real quick. Starting with the Big Ten, Oregon versus Penn State.
Give me Oregon. I just don't think Penn State will score enough points, honestly, which is, I mean, that's the name of the game. You got to score points to win. But
Oregon's only a 3.5-point favorite.
That surprises me. If Penn State can keep it under 21, they have a real good shot, but I don't think they're scoring over that.
Yep. I think both teams are in the playoff no matter what. I mean, Big Ten's going to get four teams in. So Clemson against SMU. SMU's a 2.5-point favorite. Lashley's another one I'd like. I just don't see him leaving SMU.
Yeah, especially now that they're in the ACC. It is ironic that that Florida State sued the ACC saying you're bringing in a team like SMU. It's going to lower the conference prestige and records. And now they're in the ACC championship game. Give me Clemson, though.
I can't believe Dabo has a chance to back his way into the playoff. Yeah. But I'm going to take SMU. I think they're really good.
Thanks, Syracuse, for that, for keeping my Canes out.
Yep. They blew it. They just blew it. Georgia and Texas, rematch. Texas 2.5-point favorites.
Give me Texas.
I like Texas as well. You still think Georgia gets in?
Actually, this is going to be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. There will be at least one three-loss SEC school in. Georgia would have three losses, correct? Or would this be loss number two?
This would be three. Because they should have three to Georgia Tech.
I'm going to even say two. Three-loss SEC. That's my J-Man's book of prediction of the week. Two three-loss SEC schools get in, and it's going to make us all mad. And I think it's going to be Georgia and Bama, honestly. I think those.
I'm trying to figure out if your math is math in here correct, though. Because
that means Indiana would probably get left out, right?
Yeah, and they're not going to leave them out. And they're not going to leave Ohio State out.
It's a bold prediction for a reason. Let me have it.
Okay. All right.
Two three-loss SEC schools get in. I think it's Bama, Georgia. Maybe South Carolina sneaks in there. J-Man's Book of Prediction Week brought to you by the Travis Watchering Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers, Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis at 341 West Logan Street, Suite L100, Noblesville, Indiana.
And let's see here. Iowa State, Arizona State, Pac-12 or Big 12.
Arizona State was preseason picked 16th in the Big 12.
Coming off 3-9 season.
Yep. Here they are, Kenny, I think his name, Dillingham. Kenny,
yep.
He was right around our age. We're idiots talking about sports. He's right around our age, coaching Arizona State to the potential playoff appearance. Yep. And I'm going to take him. Give me Arizona State.
Well, you want to feel old. Oklahoma's new offensive coordinator is 29.
Ouch. Ouch. Did you know Tulsa's interim head coach is Ryan Switzer, who played at North Carolina and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's younger than us? Yeah.
I hate everything.
I know. I watched Ryan Switzer play for North Carolina at University of Illinois in, I believe, 2016.
Jeez.
So,
Boise State, do they get it done against UNLV
and get in the playoff? Yes, they do. They do. Ashton Jonte is not going to win the Heisman, although he should.
It's going to be Hunter.
It's going to be Hunter, though.
Yep. I agree. So, well, before we fly through NFL, let's get to this week's Pick 6 segment. Brought to you by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. Christian McCaffrey.
Out for the season. Likely. Awful. 6 weeks, hasn't been able to stay healthy this year. Something seems off with the Niners anyway. Purdy's not having a good year. They're so injured too. They don't get the benefit of the doubt, though, because no one else does.
Kirk Cousins.
Four picks. He single-handedly cost the Falcons that. I would be tempted to. see what you got in Pennix. That's such a bad division, though, that they could easily still
win. I know.
Then
what do you do if Pennix balls out because Kirk's guaranteed next year contract?
I mean, you got to have him on the bench if Pennix is your dude. Cousins is the only reason why the Chargers won that game yesterday.
Yep. Bounce around a little all over the place there. Miller Moss, you'll see.
Yeah, transferring. He was benched, though, towards the end of the season. I'm surprised Lincoln Riley hasn't got – I mean, I know he's got heat, but it's a job that doesn't get talked about as much as it used to. And, Miller Moss, transfer portal.
Yep. Let's see here. Andrew Luck.
Yeah, what's he going to be doing with Stanford? He's back.
He's the GM, but they literally said he's going to be right behind in command of the AD.
Yeah.
He's got a prominent position there.
Ridiculously smart guy. He's back in football now, and a lot of schools are starting to hire like a general manager type to run, you know, the NIL and football recruiting and all that. So, makes sense. And who better to do it than Andrew Luck? Great Purdue ambassador for Stanford.
Purdue had one, and I couldn't tell you his name till last week, and did terrible.
Yeah, so,
I'm honestly hoping they give Rick Smith, the old GM of Texans, a call, or Ryan Grigson. That's crazy that sounds, because both are Purdue alums.
Yeah, Purdue guys. Yeah.
It's a little different, but might as well try, see if they're interested. Let's see. What else do we got here? We talked about him earlier, Chip Kelly.
Yeah, old Chipper. I know he's getting some heat because his offense didn't look that great this year. And he
kept trying to run the ball the other day. Throw it.
Yeah. I saw a tweet. It was something like, it feels like Ohio State felt like they don't actually beat Michigan unless they can do it running the ball, and now they've lost four in a row against them. You have all these NFL wide receivers. Why not just throw it to them? I don't get it.
Lastly, a name we haven't talked about on this podcast for quite a while, Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo, what's going on with him?
His name's coming up for the West Virginia job because he's from there, has a farm there.
That makes sense.
Rich Rod's also another rumored one.
That would be fun.
Knoxville State.
I'm in full circle. Steve Slayton and Pat White ain't coming out there, though. So
No. You should know there. You should know some of their players from
Coastal 125. I do. You know, it's actually played out the exact same way where Neil Brown got fired on CFB 25 and my boy Timmy Lasagna took over. Took him to a title in 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years.
Country roads.
Yeah,
take them home. That is the Pick Six segment brought to you by Like As Every Performer Print Suit Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2025, Performer Print Suit Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for a fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call, 574-210-3815.
Winners, losers, my first winner, the Pittsburgh Steelers, scoring 44 points. Russ had a turn-back-the-clock game there for Pittsburgh. They're winning games. I can't believe it.
I don't know why he couldn't have played like this in Denver. I mean, it all worked out for both sides, it's just mind-boggling to me. My first winner, Green Bay Packers. Uh-huh. Sorry, J-Man, but I thought they looked pretty good on Thanksgiving. And
they're a good team.
They're a good team. Yeah, they're tough, especially at home. They're real tough.
Yeah. The Seattle Seahawks, I know it was bad against a bad team.
Tough
to figure out. And now they have a big one this week against Arizona. But, 7-5, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. My second, Philadelphia Eagles, 8 straight. They're good. They're red hot right now. Red hot.
Yeah. My last one is the Minnesota Vikings. They somehow keep finding a way to get it done. And it's not pretty, but here they sit 10-2, and we'll get whooped round one of the playoffs. But all you got to do is get in.
A team that keeps finding a way to get it done, but I'm not putting them in my winner. Don't worry, it's Kansas City Chiefs. I'm putting the Indianapolis Colts as my third winner. That was a must win to keep them in the playoff hunt. Shane Steichen showed some guts going for two instead of extra point. And Anthony Richardson's playing some pretty decent football for the Colts right now.
I disagree, but they do keep going. 3 losers.
Chicago Bears, number one. Abysmal way to end the game on Thanksgiving, and how they handled the Matt Eberflus firing was embarrassing. Why did you let him go in front of the media when he knew you're going to fire him? Such a bad, poorly run organization.
That was more embarrassing than the final 30 seconds of that game.
It was. Even though I will say Caleb Williams isn't getting as much blame as he probably should. I know he's a rookie. He's got to know. Call timeout, too, and not to try to change the play.
So. Yeah. Miami Dolphins. The only good thing from Thursday is Tua played well in the cold.
He did.
The team is soft. They missed 20 tackles, which account for 132 extra yards. Soft football team. Pathetic effort in the cold.
My number two is a guy I thought was the greatest of all time at his position at one time, and he is killing his team. I'd say Justin Tucker. In their five losses, they've lost by a combined 22 points, and he's left 22 points of kicks out there. So it's weird. He's struggling.
It's scary.
Kickers are so mental, man.
Yeah. The Vegas Raiders should have had it done, but it just happens in Kansas City all the time. Honestly, I'm blaming them less than I am just Kansas City being Kansas City.
That
thing ended because O'Connell put them in position to kick a field goal at least. The 10-second runoff after the – or no, it wasn't since it was a fumble. It was just bad. Bad.
I don't know who to put here last. I'll put the Atlanta Falcons. They needed this one. And like you said, Kirk throwing four picks definitely didn't help anything.
Yeah. You already said Justin Tucker, but my final loser is the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
They've struggled winning the big one really throughout Lamar Jackson's career so far. And they got to figure it out soon.
Yep. Week 14, only 13 games this week. Quite a few teams have a bye this week. Starting Thursday night, Green Bay Packers at Detroit Lions. The Lions all of a sudden are really banged up.
Yeah, really banged up. Heck of a matchup here, but I'm taking the Lions for 10.
I got the Lions for 4 because of the injuries have me a little cautious. But, man, if I had to put my Super Bowl pick right now, Lions-Bills right now, which most of America would love, but not you.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Jacksonville Jaguars at Tennessee Titans.
Give me Titans for 5. I assume Mac Jones is playing this week. Who knows?
I assume that was such a dirty hit.
Dirty hit.
Titans for 3, even though they got blitzed yesterday by the Commanders. New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins.
I'm taking the Dolphins for 3, but fully expecting an Aaron Rodgers turn back the clock game.
Not happening. Dude turned 41, I believe, today. I don't see him back in New York next year. I think he plays one more year, but I don't think it's going to be in New York.
I mean, Vegas.
I'll be okay with that. Dolphins for 10. Atlanta Falcons at Minnesota Vikings.
Vikings for 2. Revenge game for old Kirk, though.
Kirk Cousins, revenge game. Vikings for 11. I'm finally taking them big. I don't think I've done it all year. New Orleans Saints at New York Giants.
Saints for 6.
I got the Saints for 9. Both not very good, but Giants are worse. Carolina Panthers at Philadelphia Eagles. I admire the fight in the Panthers.
Yeah.
And Bryce Young's turned it around.
He's playing some good football, and I'm happy for him because it was ugly there for a while. With that being said, Eagles, probably the second best team in the NFC right now. Give me Philadelphia for 13.
I got the Philly for 13 as well. Cleveland Browns at Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pittsburgh for 9.
I think Pittsburgh wants revenge from the snowy game a week ago. Steelers for 8. Las Vegas Raiders at Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Give me the Bucs for 12.
I got the Bucs for 12 as well. Really good one here in the NFC West. Seattle Seahawks at Arizona Cardinals.
Cardinals for 4.
I got the Cardinals for 1. I really think this is a toss-up game. Both teams are hard to figure out. Buffalo Bills at LA Rams.
I think the Bills are the best team in the AFC. Give me the Bills for 8.
I got the Bills for 5. I think they are too, but I could see the Rams pulling this one out at home for some reason. Chicago Bears at San Francisco 49ers. Blech.
Give me the Niners for 11.
Take the Niners for 2 just because they're home. They're so banged up, not playing good. But,
maybe Bears the Bears have will now be a new
coach. I don't know. LA Chargers at Kansas City Chiefs Sunday Night Football. Hey, Chiefs are primetime again.
Shocker. Give me the Chiefs for 7.
I got the Chiefs for 6. And another team that's on primetime again, the Cincinnati Bengals are at the Dallas Cowboys.
Give me Dallas for 1.
Taking the Bengals for 7. I think they're better, but They do well against teams under 500. They can't beat anybody over 500.
I've been burned by the Bengals too many times this year to continue to pick them.
Yep, that's fair.
Birdie Bogey, what university has the most cumulative rushing yards in the NFL history since 1966?
I'm probably wrong here, but it's the first school that came to my head, so I'm not going to overthink it. USC.
You are incorrect. It is. What did I do with my phone? I lost my phone somehow sitting here. I will see if USC is in the top five. Let's see here. They are fifth with 61,000 yards.
OJ came to mine right away, yeah. And some others.
Oklahoma is fourth with 66,000 yards. Georgia is third, 68,000 yards.
Came to my mind.
Alabama is two with 70,000 yards. This school has 91,333 yards cumulative. The University of Miami.
Wow, that makes sense. They Georgia popped in my head, but they didn't. Yeah. Yep.
Edgerton, Frank Gore. I mean, Willis McGahee.
Clinton Portis.
I'm sure they had dudes back in the day to do that. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. Hope you guys have a fantastic first week of December. We'll be back at her next Monday.